Football Fix with Doug and Wolf. Presented by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
The New England Patriots are not the highlight of your football fix, where we guarantee you football every weekday morning at 8 o'clock. But a former Patriot is, as the depth chart came out. And keep in mind, the depth chart before game one of a preseason in the NFL is almost always used for motivation, to kind of stick it to somebody that you think needs to be doing more, or to put somebody in their place. Hey, Rook, calm down.
Or it's just ignored in the Super Bowl when your number one cornerback is on the sideline for the entirety of the game.
That's true. Speaking of the Patriots. So because of that, in no way am I making this a huge deal, but I do think it's interesting. At one of the most important position battles for the Arizona Cardinals is, I'm going to call it third weapon. Everybody else says second receiver, but I'll say who's the third weapon of the offense behind David Johnson and Larry Fitzgerald.
Doug, we already answered that in bold predictions. It's Ricky Seals-Jones.
And I'm not really saying you're wrong there, because I'm a Ricky Seals-Jones fan as well. But second receiver right now is Bryce Butler,
yes,
according to the depth chart.
Yes.
And the reason why I brought up the Patriots is the Patriots released Malcolm Mitchell on Monday, according to Ian Rappaport, and they said that he has been doing a lot of conditioning tests and a lot of conditioning work on training camp fields around the New England Patriots facility after undergoing a knee procedure last month.
You know why that is right there, right? Because once again, you cannot practice until you pass the Gasser test. Isn't that right, Bill Belichick?
To this day, in 2018, he still makes you pass that test.
As far as I know, last I heard, Paulie, and why would he change?
Okay.
Why would he change that policy?
We had Coach on the show, I believe it was 3 years ago. We've had him on twice. And this time, you asked him if he's still doing the Gasser test.
And then he said,
he said, yeah, we're still doing it, Ron.
Yep.
And then Wolf tried to remind him how Wolf was a little tepid, though. Tried to remind him how he thought it might have been a little unfair what was expected of him in the Gasser test. And not only did Belichick dismiss it, but he said it so quick. Gotta pass the Gasser test, Ron. Gotta pass it. Then he just moved on. No reason to talk about this anymore. But I'm assuming Malcolm Mitchell, because of the knee, nobody wanted to give anything to the Patriots. And it might be because the famous Gasser test. I mean, it might have even hurt him in negotiations. There might have been NFL teams that were saying, we know he can't pass the Gasser test, but he might pass our physical, so we'll just wait for you to cut him.
You're done.
But it does bring up the question, should, no pun intended, the Cardinals kick the tires? Are they looking for other receivers, or do you think they're happy enough saying where Butler is, where Chad Williams is? We continue to talk about Trent Sherfield, although he didn't quite look as good yesterday, that they have enough wide receivers that they don't need to bring in a Malcolm Mitchell.
I think it's an unknown. I mean, it's a genuine, authentic question, and they're really eager to find out on Saturday night. Now, if they go through Saturday night and everyone underwhelms and underperforms, then I think they start to get serious. They start taking a real look at what's outside the Cardinals facility. But on Saturday night, they're hoping to get some answers if Christian Kirk can truly handle it. A guy walked in as a true freshman and led Texas A&M in receiving, both catches and yards. Do they have that? Can Bryce Butler, who has flashed, but obviously had a slow offseason leading into training camp, how much can they count on? What exactly do they have? And, that's why Saturday, for everybody who detests the preseason, and look, I'll be leading that charge to reduce it to at least three games in the future if they can figure that out. It is valuable to the coaches, and this is exactly why, when you don't know what you have, you like four or five guys who could potentially be your number two receiver.
I think they're definitely going to look for a number two receiver on the waiver wire. I think that's a possibility. It doesn't mean that if Bryce Butler steps up and has a very, very good training camp, the rest of training camp, and it shines in some preseason games, right, and does well, it doesn't mean that he won't be the starter going forward. I think they're going to keep their eyes open on this one, and I would be surprised, based on earnings, I will tell you right now, I would be surprised if, in fact, they didn't bring in Malcolm Mitchell at some point in time and just kick the tires. just kind of figure out how you doing, what's going on, who are you, and are we interested in all at all in going forward with this? I think, why wouldn't you do that? I mean, your due diligence, right? Now, maybe there's somebody that knows Malcolm Mitchell and knows the inside story of Malcolm Mitchell well, where it will preclude him from actually coming here. In other words, there's a problem maybe off the field and in the locker room with Malcolm Mitchell, not just his injury situation, but maybe the person thereof.
You know, Steve Wilks hinted that him and Mike McCoy basically told the offense and the receivers in particular, we're not making the decision, you are. Somebody needs to step up and make the decision for us, whether it's a Chad Williams, whether it's a Greg Little who has flashed here and there. And there's so many different guys who have shined at different times, but who can consistently be a playmaker and be a reliable target for Sam Bradford? Because I'm telling you right now, if you are in the right place at the right time, Sam Bradford will find you. Yes. There's no doubt about it. I talked to a veteran yesterday, guys, and he said, you know my respect for Carson Palmer. And then he paused.
Yeah.
And he said, Sam Bradford right now is playing at that level, if not beyond, and especially the acumen, finding open guys.
It's Ticket Window Tuesday presented by Arizona Central Credit Union. We're giving you the chance to win tickets to see comedian Jim Gaffigan on his Fixer Upper Tour live at the Comerica Theater on December 8th. If you want to be a winner, just listen to 10:15, 12:15, and 4:15 for your chance to cash in. Okay, week one, Washington Redskins. Week two, is he playing or is he not against the Arizona Cardinals?
Here's the latest here. He's got to be in by tomorrow. Otherwise, this season, whenever he does report, assuming he does report at some point, will not count as an accrued season towards free agency, which means after this season, he would become a restricted free agent rather than an unrestricted free agent. But here's the deal. He's not going to be there tomorrow. He's not going to report in time, which means after the season, assuming they don't get a deal worked out this year, he would become a restricted free agent.
The speaker is Adam Schefter. The date was yesterday, so when he said tomorrow, he's referring today. The he is Aaron Donald, and the they are the L.A. Rams, meaning if there is no deal today with Aaron Donald, he does not have enough seasons to become an unrestricted free agent.
Yeah.
And last year, keep in mind, he didn't show up till the very week of week one. They put him on, or they just didn't list him as a participant of the game. So they said, okay, we're gonna label you inactive. And then he went on to play 15 games and won Defensive Player of the Year. So at the one point, I don't think everybody that's a Cardinals fan should take a big sigh of relief, but. I think this is start. When you look at A.Q. Shipley out, Mason Cole right there, should we not be keeping an eye on these Aaron Donald negotiations like crazy?
And Ndamukong Suh has already made it known he loves to go after Sam Bradford. And then you got Michael Brockers on the inside as well. Look, he took it out on the rest of the league last year, his contract frustration. But at what point is this so divisive internally?
Yeah.
And that Rams locker room is so combustible right now with so many personalities.
You're right.
He's like the match that could set off the dynamite in that. I'm very curious to see what chemistry becomes. If he's not happy and he's your number one player and everyone knows it, what does that do to the Rams?
You know what? It seems to me that Aaron Donald is drawing a line in the sand right now. He's basically saying, listen, I want to be an L.A. Ram. I don't want to go anywhere. I want to play for the Rams. And I'm going to hold your feet to the fire right now if you want me to come in here. Because what he's basically doing is forfeiting the right to become an unrestricted free agent, right? Like, if that ever was going to happen.
So it's not all about the money. It's all about the money with the Rams.
It's money with the Rams. That's what I think that it is. He's not coming in today.
The Rams are claiming they've offered him a contract to be the highest paid defensive player in the history of the NFL. He says,
wow,
I'm worth a quarterback. He thinks he is mid-level to above-average quarterback money.
So he wants $20 million plus per year, I'm guessing.
Yeah,
he's the most destructive force known to the football universe.
And to your point, Paul, I could sit here and make a very good argument this team's going to go 13-3 and possibly to a Super Bowl, and I feel very comfortable explaining why it will be just like the dream team of the Eagles and go 6-10.
Yes.
And I don't think you're an idiot for saying that either. It's that ranging. Talent-wise, easy double digits. Chemistry-wise, it might be hard to get to double digits with all the headaches they have.
Jared Goff, one more year, please. Thank you.
Good luck.
Then I'll buy it.
Coming up next,
There's the Goff hating again.
I said I'll buy it. One more year, bro. Real.
There is
serious.
Hey, as long as the sun comes up in the west for him, he's doing just fine.
I mean,
fine.
You found out the hard way last year. That wasn't enough evidence twice.
Had some guy in his ear.
Well, if I said coming up next.
Throw it down the seam. Down the seam. Down the seam.
There's one issue. Every time you go to Cardinals training camp, and it draws you in every single time, just like Michael Corleone said. So why are we believing it? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. I tell you, everything that I'm trying to think of as a what you're supposed to be skeptical member of the media is getting run over every time I listen to Steve Wilks.
How so, Douglas?
Because I really like, I mean, from day one, remember the famous line when he says, you know, it's hard to what when you're born to stand out? It was it's hard to
blend in.
It's hard to blend in. Thank you, Bear. It's hard to blend in when you're born to stand out. I have never heard something so gregarious said in such an even-keeled tone. You know, that's the kind of phrase you hear from a TO in the middle of trash talk, you know, or trying to get attention for yourself.
Yeah.
And yet here's Steve Wilks saying it in so matter of fact, like, I don't care what you think. This is who I am. Deal with it. And yet, so he doesn't do anything to impress you. And yet, everything he does is impressive. This is how I feel in listening to the things he says. He was on yesterday with Bickley and Murata.
Number one, I think when you create that visual, when guys are stretching, and all of a sudden you start laying the bags down. You know, so right now they're starting to figure out, okay, is coach going to call on me?
Uh-huh.
You know, so it's trying to create a mindset, okay, I got to get ready to practice. And, you know, you look at, I think it may have been the first day when Chandler broke the sled.
Oh.
You know, so when you put the spotlight on individuals and all of a sudden here's the peers looking.
Yeah.
You know, guys want to perform, and I mean, let's be honest, DJ got the best of him that day, and you can tell his frustration when he went down on the sled, so he was ready to practice after that in the show.
I mean, can you feel that?
Oh, yeah, yes.
And that's what I mean.
Can feel that.
That's what I mean with this guy is, and listen, I like the beginning of Bruce Arians. I don't mind admitting, and I think a lot of people heard it in the things I said. I thought the thing went so well under BA at the beginning that he got a little too egotistical and believed too much that he could just roll the balls out and things were going to go well. I don't think he held his coaches as accountable as he was holding players. I think chemistry started to wane. I thought there were issues at the end. I hear Steve Wilks, and I say, this is going somewhere.
Steve Wilks, what I love about a Basinonian is he believes in edginess. He believes in edginess. He believes in keeping players edgy and coaches edgy.
But has the confidence to know he can handle it,
and
too.
The way to do that is to be edgy. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
He's the alpha male in that locker room, and players need to earn his respect. Listen. It's not a situation where he's throwing it in the faces of the players. But make no mistake about it, Basinonians. Everybody in that locker room knows who's in charge. Weakness is not received well. It is not received well in a hyper-aggressive alpha male paradigm known as an NFL locker room. Never forget that, Basinonians. It is not received well. And this guy shows strength and wisdom. And he knows that he sets the tone and tenor for this team. His expectation is that you're willing to play this game in a physical way. And if you don't, you're not going to be here. And that reminds me, ladies and gentlemen, that reminds me so much of a coach I had in 1992 and 93. And his name was Bill Belichick. He was exactly the same. There was just an understanding and an expectation that if you don't play this game in a physical way with everything that you have, you're not going to be here. We're going to go find somebody else. If you don't mentally care enough to know what your assignment is and what your job is on every play, and then you don't do it with all that you have, he was just going to go find somebody who would.
Now, you know what's going to happen. Somebody's going to at you right now and say, Ron Wolfley just compared Steve Wilks to Bill Belichick.
I'm comparing personalities. I'm not comparing coaches or coaching styles. I'm literally comparing personalities. And the personality of Steve Wilks is like Bill Belichick's. It's a make, it's you know what, this isn't playtime. Let's put it that way. That's the best way to say it. This isn't playtime. This is work time. Steve Wilks is all business out on the field right here. And he's building that same culture and that expectation and understanding with this team. And it's not just going ahead and saying, let's do one-on-one. Let's go ahead and do that to start off practice, which, again, I've never seen anything like it in three decades of being around the National Football League. It was awesome.
To start
it camp.
It
was awesome to watch him do that. It's been awesome to watch him put the ball down inside the 10 and say, you know what, three plays of live goal line right in the middle of individual. Okay, everybody up here, right here, everyone gather around, watch this. Bam! Ball gets put down, three live plays. Oh, you didn't get it in? Go back to your individual period. Well, coach, what are you? Oh, there's no twos versus twos. There's no threes versus threes. You just went one-on-one. Ones defensively, ones offensively. What do you mean?
It's so magical because think about all of us who are high school athletes, no matter where, no matter what level you ever played. Football's about the only sport, maybe lacrosse, but football or hockey. Football's one of the only sports where you could do that, where you decide in the middle of a practice, I'm not seeing the intensity I want to see. And what do all other coaches do? They just start yelling at people. He sometimes isn't yelling. Fine. We'll go live. Here we go. Let me see who's the man.
Fine.
Okay, we're done. Now we've established who are the men today in practice. Now everybody go back to what you were doing.
Once again, you know what I love about
No yelling, just challenge you.
Exactly, Doug. Especially what he did with a football the other day where he put it on the 10-yard line and said, okay, give me one offense versus one defense. He got three plays to get it in. Period. Out of nowhere. And that was it. There was no goal line, period. There was no goal line scrimmage. It was just get in there and do, oh, okay, you got stuffed. All right, go back to individual right now. Again, it mirrors a game. This is what happens.
Yes.
You're standing over there on the sideline, right? And, oh, the defense is out on the field. The defense is out on the field. Okay, you know, and, oh, it's a second down. And, okay, I've still got some time here to drink some Gatorade. And I was like, turnover! Oh, now you got to run onto the field out of nowhere. Drop everything. Go out onto the field. Not that I did, ladies and gentlemen, but you get my point.
I wonder if he's even sudden told change. Mike McCoy and Al Holcomb he's doing it.
That
all of a sudden, hey, they've got to get just as focused.
Interesting. It's an interesting proposition by you, Doug Lace, and I wouldn't say that. Give yourself the wolf howl, as a matter of fact, as you definitely improve the broadcast with that observation. But honestly, I'm loving what I'm seeing from Steve Wilks. I really do believe the players are responding to Steve Wilks, and that's really, really encouraging. It's so important that alpha male is established.
This is what he said to Bickley and Murata, and they asked him about being a first-year head coach, and he didn't answer that specifically. It's just, this is me.
I think you have to go on, you know, who you are inside it in the core. And that's always been my makeup. You know, I've always had, in my opinion, an effect on the room as a position coach, as a coordinator. And it's just very exciting to be able to have now that same effect on the team. So no reservations at all. I didn't come in here and hesitate or skip or even think about trying to think I was going to make a mistake. I just hit the ground running, mm-hmm. You know, and very excited about where we are right now and the things that we're doing.
Granted, it's early, but I don't know how you can't believe when you listen to the man
talk. It's innate.
Yeah.
It's innate with him, right? He understands the law of the jungle.
Coming up next from the Auction Community Studios, you got defense, you got starting pitching, you got bullpen, and eventually you got offense.
It is in the air into left center field. Pretty well hit. Back of the warning track, back of the wall, and this one is gone! Home run Peralta!
He walks it off in the 14th. Now, what can the D-backs do as an encore? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Clutch.
Back-to-back Zachs.
What?
Zach Godley last night goes 7 1/3, gives up 2 earned runs.
The Zach Godley band recorded another hit, ladies and gentlemen.
And we could definitely use Zach Greinke to go seven innings tonight. 6:40 game time. If you're not doing anything, if there's any way you can get to tonight's game, let's go. Let's go. I mean, what do you want from this team that they're not giving you last night?
Is in the air into left center field. Pretty well hit. Back of the warning track, back of the wall, and this one is gone! Home run Peralta! He walks the Diamondbacks off in the 14th inning. It hit on the yellow line and bounced into the bleachers, and the Diamondbacks have beaten the Phillies 3-2.
Bottom of the 14th inning.
I'm on the train.
And that's not just all for the freight train, because the only reason why they were able to get the mojo going in the bottom of the ninth.
Yeah.
Looks in to get his sign and goes to work in the 0-1 to Peralta with one out. And a shot to deep right center field. Back of the warning track at the wall. Touch of all, David. It's 2-1 on Peralta's career high 18th home run of the season.
Would career high in the ninth, and then obviously another one in the 14th.
Yeah, would you say that started the comeback for the Diamondbacks?
I would say that started the comeback.
That started the comeback right there, and then he finished it. He started it, and he finished it. David Peralta, clutch. Listen, you know what? Zach Godley as well. Man, was he good.
Yep.
Was he not good? You stop and think about it. He's so entertaining to watch, first of all, right? When he's throwing strikes, falling all over the hill, it's very, very entertaining to me. It's the reason why I call him the Zach Godley Band, right? It's just because he is very entertaining to actually watch when he's throwing strikes. When he's not throwing strikes, oh my goodness. He is the most maddening human being on the face of the planet, right? Even Zach Godley would have to admit it. Well, you're falling all over the mound. Of course you're not going to throw a strike. When things go badly, the Phillies are number 10. Basinonians are number 10 in runs scored post-All-Star break. The Phillies, number 10 in all of baseball, right? They've got a capable lineup. And the Zach Godley Band left them wanting more, right? 7 1/3, 5 hits, 1 base on ball. Man, that is the key right there for Zach Godley. 1 hitter walked, right? Only gave up 2 earned runs. This kid is a competitor. He's a guy that is maddening. There's no doubt about it. It seems all or nothing for the most part with Zach.
That's a good way to look at it.
So much respect for the kid, though, to go out and compete against Jake Arrieta and the Phillies the way that he did. It started with Zach Godley, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, to win this game is awesome for us. Honestly, you have to tip your hat to Arrieta. He threw an unbelievable game, and it was huge for us to be able to come back there in the ninth and be able to tie it up, and then just to fight through and just come away with that victory is awesome for us.
When you think about it right now, right, do you think the Phillies would do it again? Do you think they'd send Arrieta out there at least to start the ninth inning again, regardless of his pitch count?
I don't know about that, but I'm pretty confident Gabe Kapler wouldn't be taking out half of his offensive firepower during the game. I mean, Rhys Hoskins is developing into one of the better players in all of the National League. I'm not taking him out. I'm not taking him out at all. And Gabe Kapler, his first 2 weeks on the job, he was atrocious. Just atrocious. It was like, I'm sorry, Gabe, you were learning baseball from a managerial perspective, and I get it. But some of the rules that I'm sure you knew, he was butchering rules of the game.
Yeah.
Not just making bad decisions. He was forgetting rules. And then things settled down, and he's been fantastic. He could easily become manager of the year. But last night wasn't one of his best managerial performances.
Think about this, Basinonians, right here. I'm not going to have a Bear growl. We're not going to have a growl anymore. But I will tell you this stat that Bear actually released a little bit earlier in this beautiful broadcast. He was talking about the fact that the Diamondbacks were 1-44 after trailing in the eighth inning. 1-44, right? So one time, obviously.
Owings against Jansen.
And actually won a game, right? Now they're 2-44. Ron Wolfley doing math live on the air. Let him
he doesn't even have anything to say. He just wants credit for the stat.
Exactly right. 2-44 now. And it's so critical that if there was one trend, if there was one way you could win games, if there was one way that you could be known for winning games, wouldn't you want to be known for being able to come back late in games and win games? It's what the Chicago Cubs have been doing all year long for the most part, winning games late.
I wonder, I'm assuming if you are a Major League Baseball player not employed by the Chicago Cubs, I don't think you go into the seventh inning scared, uh-oh, they're going to come back. I do believe, however, if you are playing for the Cubs, there is an extra juice that says we've been here before, I'm not afraid.
Well, what's the difference? Because it's huge collectively to think that way.
I think it's huge for the Cubs. I don't think it affects the other team. I don't think the other team sits there and says, oh, no, we're up by two runs, but that's not enough. The Cubs are going to get us.
Absolutely.
But I think for the Cubs, there is an emotion that says we're out of it.
No doubt.
Any time the smallest positive thing happens, one little base hit in the eighth inning, suddenly you're going, here we go. Here we go, and I do think you do get juice from that.
It's what we do.
Yes.
This is just who we are. I totally believe in that, right? Identities are important collectively. Listen, your identity as an individual, for the most part, honestly, go do your job. I don't care. I've seen so many different identities, and all they did was go do their job. Different personalities, different skills, different people, period. Just go do your job. But collectively, I think, hey, listen, when we all come together, when we go out and we compete as a team, having an identity as a team, I think, is important. And once again, if there was anything you could be known for coming back and winning games late, I don't care what sport you're talking about, whether it's hockey, whether it's basketball, it's baseball, it's football. Isn't that a great team identity to have? To be able to come back and win games late. And it's something the Diamondbacks, frankly, have not done. Have to get better at that.
Hey! Retweet this. Presented by Sanderson Ford.
Darren Urban, the Cards reporter at Cards Chatter, is the Twitter handle for azcardinals.com, has tweeted out Kimdichie, Pierre, Chad Williams, and of course, Deon Buchanan are among those working on the side at practice, meaning they're not involved in all the other drills. And whenever that happens, it's 99% of the time there's an injury issue there. So we'll keep an eye on that. Deon Buchanan banged his knee a while ago, but there was no structural damage. So it's just kind of taking its time. No big deal. But the Kimdichie, Pierre, and Chad Williams, those are new pieces of information.
Well, hopefully it's not a big deal, right, for any of these guys, and especially Robert Kimdichie. You worry about the lower extremities.
He's had a good camp, too. This Wednesday, but he jumped off sides again in one-on-one drills.
It's all right. You know what? I'm not going to overcoach that. I'm not going to do it. It's going to happen from time to time. Every grade three technique, Aaron Donald jumps off sides.
Once a week?
No. I'm talking about once a game, at least.
Yeah, that's too much.
Yeah, well, 16, I'm just saying.
16 offsides penalties.
No,
come on.
I'm telling you, Aaron Donald does it.
This Wednesday is the last half-day club of the season as the D-backs take on the Phillies, and you can sit with your favorite Arizona sports host in the lower level for only $9.87. Just text HALF to 62620, and we'll send you the link to get your half-day club tickets for only $9.87. That's HALF to 620-620. All right. How do you really get Mason Cole ready to go as the starting center for the Arizona Cardinals? And when do you bail on the experiment? Let's talk to a Super Bowl winning offensive lineman. Max Starks joins us next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Max Starks has just grabbed the Coulter Automotive Group Sports line.
Where's the gob?
He has won a Super Bowl ring. He may or may not won another, a different one, but that's for another time. Max, good morning. How's life?
You know, I'm good, Doug. How are you doing, more importantly, after Saturday? Are you okay?
I'm glad that you took the moment to care about the foot. The foot's actually feeling pretty good. I can walk if I'm on carpet. Walking on tile on the foot hurts.
Yeah, no. I was scared about you going down that ramp at the end of practice.
Yeah, but a lesser athlete would have went face first, without beyond a shadow of a doubt. The ramp was the ramp was tough.
I thought you were auditioning for X Games. I thought you were like, listen, if you think I could do anything on a skateboard, check me out on the scooter. You did so many flips and one-legged stands. It was amazing.
I was like, man, I looked smooth, I thought.
Where are you right now, Max? Because you sound like you're right next door. Where are you?
Oh, no. I am in my office, which, wow. I mean, it could technically be next door if you count 30 minutes away, but it is close.
That's well done. Max, from an AQ Shipley standpoint, I really want to get into the Mason Cole, like looking ahead, looking positive, but I'd rather start if I'm a listener, I would want to hear directly from you on getting over the devastation first. With all the years you spent as a Steelers left tackle, what would it have meant if to that line, if Dermoni Dawson goes down? And no, I'm not comparing, you know, AQ Shipley to him, but anybody who is the guy at center that the whole line respects, what does that do to a line on day one, day two, finding out he's gone for the year?
It's a tough break. You know, I look back on my time and, you know, when you think about coming into a new coaching staff, a new offense, you always want to have one constant. You want to have a veteran center there that has seen the turnover in the room, but also is the guy that everybody's respect is around, because you have to depend on that guy to make all of the calls, to get the line set. He's the brainchild of the entire offensive line. And so to lose him this early, it really it's really a bad blow, because you think of coming into this season, only guy that actually started all 16 games mm-hmm. and has been a rock for this offensive line for the last 3 years has been AQ Shipley. And he's been the center of everything. So even when things got bad, you know, you always knew that the guys were always going to be lined up correctly and they were going to know what to do at the snap. Now, whether they performed what they were supposed to do is a different story, but they always knew what to do. And that was because of AQ. And Carson had tremendous faith in him. Drew and any other backup quarterback that came in, they knew the one constant was you were getting AQ Shipley. And he was, if you were uncomfortable, he was going to make you comfortable. So now Mason Cole now has to kind of, let's say, fast track himself to mm-hmm. where he gains the respect and the trust of the offensive line.
Yeah, on that note right there, Max, would you rather have young offensive linemen, young guys like Mason Cole, would you rather they ease their way into playing time, or do you think it's better you just throw them out there and say, go?
Well, I always lend myself to the side of easing because of the simple fact that, you know, you want them to just get a gauge for what this game is like, because that's the biggest adjustment from college to pro, is the speed with which guys play, the ferocity with which guys play. And so you want to give a guy at least the option of, hey, okay, I've watched it for about a quarter. Now I can go in and now I get to, you know, grease the wheels a little bit. And now I get to kind of gauge myself. Then boom, next game. Okay, I'm getting a little bit more comfortable right now. Yeah. Out the gates, he's got the first team. So he's getting starters. He's getting wily veterans, especially in that first preseason game where he's going to have to be on his P's and Q's. And the good thing is he does have two solid vets between him. He has Justin Pugh yes. and has Mike Iupati, who are going to kind of blanket him. You know, one's the mouth, one's the muscle. So he has both those guys kind of surrounding him. I think that's going to ease that. Plus, he has a veteran in Sam Bradford. Now, would a quarterback prefer a veteran center or a rookie center? I think they prefer veteran. But when you look at what Mason brings to the table, I don't think he's as green as we would think he is, just because of his background with Michigan,
yeah.
dealing with Coach Harbaugh and their offense. And actually, funny enough, one of my former coaches, his son, Patrick Kugler, played with Mason Cole, and he used to rave about Mason. So I have all the faith in the world that Mason's going to come in. He's going to take his bumps and bruises just like any rookie center is going to, but I think he's going to have a nice adjustment. We had one in Pittsburgh when I was there, a guy by the name of Marquise Pouncey. He turned out all right.
Yeah,
so I think Mason will be good.
We're talking to a good friend of the show, Max Starks, and he was at the red and white scrimmage, so he saw AQ go down. And we're talking about offensive line because he's a two-time Super Bowl winning champion. I don't know why I slipped and said two-time. That was my bad.
I appreciate that.
Yeah,
you told the truth.
Yeah,
it's
I know
okay.
I told the truth. I just didn't like doing it. So I'm wondering then, from another standpoint, you know full well that the Cardinals would have immediately started the phone call train. They would have started lighting up options to replace AQ Shipley to see who's out there. But When do you pull the trigger? How long do you give Mason Cole? If he's awful on Saturday, do you say relax and don't go out and get a center? Does he have to be average Saturday? I mean, what do you want to see from him Saturday before you would make a phone call and bring in a veteran off the street?
Well, I think, first of all, there's not going to be a veteran that's going to be available until after the third preseason game, after the first round of cuts. So I think you have to roll with him for the first three games and see where the chips may fall, and also you have to get Daniel Munier ready and Eric and Evan Bame ready. So you have two other options behind Mason Cole, but I think for Mason coming out in this first preseason game, they're probably going to have him play just a little bit longer. He's probably going to have to run with the ones and probably a little bit with the twos to get comfortable. So I mean, for me, all I want to see from Mason is go out there, make the mic point, put the guys in the right position, make the right call, and then just battle. Whether you lose, spectacularly, I don't care. But if you're going to go out there, you're going to give me heart, and you know what you're doing. I need heart and head at this point in the first preseason game, and I think he's going to be able to give that to him, and that's what I'm going to judge him off of. But I also can't make a move until after that third preseason game because there's nobody that's going to be available for the Cardinals to even take a look at. I think that's available in free agency right now. So you want to see those first round of cuts, maybe a team's third string center that they don't want to let go, or maybe there's a cap issue going into the season. It's a veteran they need to let go because they don't want to, guarantee his contract going into the beginning of the season. I think that'll be your best spot if you don't feel comfortable with Mason Cole or you want somebody to add depth behind Mason Cole if he is your game day starter.
Good point, but remember what you're hoping for now because the rule change, and I think it was 2 years ago, it might have been last year, Max, I don't remember, but the rule change is they only have one cut. Now, that doesn't mean the fact that you still won't have a team cut a veteran early saying, hey, you're not going to make us, we want to get you on with somebody else, but if you wait until cuts, it's actually the fourth preseason game now, which makes it even harder.
Go ahead, Max.
I was just going to say, well, the good thing is you also have offensive coaches from a lot of different systems. So there are probably teams that they're targeting to see, and they already have a ready list available. Yeah. So that if they do feel uncomfortable after that third game, they could probably make a call and see who's a bubble guy and probably work something out before that last preseason game or cut. Mm-hmm. So, you think about where Mike McCoy's come from. The relationship that Steve Wilkes has, is there anything over there in Carolina? Is there anything in Denver? They're going to be looking at all these different options to make sure that there's something available, but I wouldn't expect it before that third preseason game.
Max, I've got like 30 seconds here, okay? But guards making calls. I've seen it happen before where a guard will literally make a call. We saw it happen at practice. I was talking about this very thing. Have you ever seen that in your own experience?
Yes. Well, think about when guys are in shotgun, when the center has his head between his legs looking for a leg snap, the guards have to make the calls and also let the center know when to keep his head up. So it's not uncommon, especially in today's NFL, with the shotguns, because there's going to be pre-snap adjustments. Guys used to try and time up when a center would put his head down and switch to front. So when he came up, his head bobbed, he couldn't make a call. So now you see a prevalence of where the center just keeps his head down the entire time after his initial mic point, and the guard makes the adjustment if there is one to be made, especially in Pittsburgh. Ramon Foster makes the calls for Marquise Pouncey when his head's between his legs as he's waiting for a shotgun snap. So it's not uncommon, and it is something that, I think can benefit the Cardinals. And especially in these situations, even when his head's not up, if he feels unsure, say, hey, Justin, what do we got here? Who's that mic point, or what's the call we need to make? So there's a lot of stuff out there.
That's good stuff. Mike, good to talk to you. Thanks for catching up.
Good talking to you guys, too. Take care.
It's Max Starks joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line, 2-time Super Bowl champion. The reason why we tease him is one of those Super Bowls he won, one of those rings, he did it against the Cardinals. You can go to CoulterNissan.com, CoulterTempe.com, or CoulterOnCamelback.com for your next new or pre-owned car. Coming up next from the Auction Community Studios was last night, October 6th, for the Arizona Diamondbacks. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.